Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm Carol Van Dam in Washington.
And I'm Ayan Bior, also in Washington. Here are some of the stories we're covering today, Wednesday, January 6th, 2016. The SPLM-IO nominates its choices for lawmakers in the transitional government.
Each state was told to identify a number of people that should be nominated from their state. And then each state identified their people who were interested to compete for the membership to the parliament.
And the family of a detained journalist asked the government for information on his whereabouts.
We strongly urge the state authority to ensure that the family of Joseph Afandi have access to where Joseph is and link up a communication with Joseph. Why is so? Because we believe that being a South Sudanese and being as a journalist, it's not that he's an enemy of the nation.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus.
The leader of the SPLM in opposition, Riek Machar, appointed 50 members of his party to the National Legislative Assembly, according to a letter he sent to his chief negotiator this week. Under the August peace agreement signed by President Salva Kiir, Machar, and other parties, 68 members of parliament will be nominated to the transitional National Legislative Assembly to bring the total number of South Sudanese lawmakers there to 400. Former political detainees will nominate one MP, and other South Sudanese political parties will select 17 others, according to the peace agreement. Machar nominated 24 legislators from the Upper Nile region, 14 from Equatoria, and 12 from the Bahar el-Ghazal region. There are 11 females among the 50 MPs, which is 22% of the total number of candidates.
SPLM-IO spokesman James Gaudet says their list was modeled using the previous 10 states, as was agreed to by all parties under the August peace deal.
It is the correct implementation of the peace agreement. You know that the peace agreement has been signed based on the 10 states, which are recognized by the country's constitutional constitution. Then the government came up with the 20 states. Which is not in the peace agreement. So what we are doing as SPLM-IO is to implement the peace agreement as it was signed.
And could you talk to me about the vetting process for these lawmakers?
The process was that each state was told to identify a number of people that should be nominated from their state. And then each state identified their people who were interested to compete for the membership to the parliament, and then they identified those people and applied their own criteria within that particular state, then came up with number of people that they finally nominated. Then they submitted the names to the leadership.
Some would argue that appointing lawmakers instead of allowing citizens to vote them into power disrupts the ability of those citizens to hold them accountable. So what is your reaction to that?
The power was given to the people to nominate their members. Each state was told to sit. They nominated their people and only submitted the names to the chairman. I have no any information on whether the chairman changed names submitted to him by the state. Although we would advise them if we saw something which was not okay in the process. But the names were submitted to him, and then he had to just compose the list and sign it.
Have you heard from the government about the proposed list of MPs?
No, I have not yet heard from them, and I don't expect them to react negatively against it. So I think the only reaction from them would be to welcome the move, but they don't have the authority to say no.
That was James Gaudet speaking with me earlier from Nairobi, Kenya. Machar's appointments were made after President Kiir made his own appointments of the 28 governors to oversee the newly created states he outlined in a recent decree. Eric Reeves, an analyst at Smith College in the U.S. East Coast state of Massachusetts, says the biggest risk in appointing politicians is the lack of accountability that could follow for the young country.
I think accountability is going to be one of the most difficult problems that South Sudan will face going forward, not simply with the appointment of leaders or political operatives, but in accounting for, offering accountability for the massive crimes, war crimes, crimes against humanity that we have seen in places like Bor, Mbentiu, Malakal. That basic human rights accountability is what concerns me more. Accountability of politicians appointed, no, they don't have any accountability except to those who appointed them. That's why this present arrangement must be emphasized as being accepted only as a temporary expedient.
What effect will it have in the long run on the judicial and democratic processes in South Sudan?
The whole issue of governance in South Sudan is one that should have been addressed a long time ago. And here the international community has let South Sudan by not pushing more forcefully for governance reform. What we're seeing now is essentially rule by a guerrilla movement. The SPLM, SPLA, has changed far too little since 2005 when the Comprehensive Peace Agreement was signed. But governance evolution, governance reform, is another long-term process. And I have no doubt that this temporary expedient that we've been speaking about will indeed make that more difficult. But we simply have to stop the bloodshed. We have to make sure that the millions of people facing acute food shortages live in an environment where humanitarian organizations can reach them. And for many areas, that has not been true.
Is South Sudan a democracy, given that politicians are appointed and not voted into power? Can we continue to say that South Sudan is a democratic country?
South Sudan is not a democracy. Never has been a democracy, really. It's always been a matter of distributing power within the SPLM. And I think we have to have reasonable expectations of South Sudan. That's not to let them off the hook, but to say that we're watching, we're pushing, we expect reforms in governance, but we know that the immediate task is to stop the bloodshed and get food to people.
That was Eric Reeves, a professor of English and a South Sudan researcher, speaking with me earlier today from Northampton, Massachusetts.
The newly appointed governors of Imatong and Namur-Yong states, which was known as Eastern Equatoria State, are preparing to elect their new cabinet. The two governors say that the criteria of the selection will be based on consultation of the citizens of the states. VOA fellow Kaltuma Vanessa has this report.
Natricia Loluke, new governor of the Imatong State, says a party committee will be formed to screen the candidates. He says the selection process will be transparent to all citizens and the people under consideration for ministerial position must be reasonable and experienced.
People who will always be mindful of the effects of their decisions, especially on people. People who will be able to know that as we operate as a government, the issues surrounding human rights and governance in general must be observed and respected.
Loluke says he has gathered stockholders residing both in and outside the state originally from the community to conduct the selection process.
We are meeting in that line so that the voices, both in Juba, in Torit, and in the villages are put together so that we don't complain, so that when a decision is made, it should be seen that this is a decision which was participated by all.
Louis Lobanglo-Jory, governor of the newly created Namur-Nyang state, says having a new state will actually reduce the number of ministries and costs to the government because some previous ministry will be combined.
We are told to have a lean government at the state level and a lean parliament at all the state level to enable the government to deliver services effectively in the states of the previous government and the Senate seat where there were lots of ministries in a very easy parliament.
And Lobong vows to hire women in prominent positions.
We must make sure that there are some women in their cabinet. There must also be a fair representation based on the counties and ethnic groups who are in the state. There must also be some youth in the cabinet.
Both governors say they realize their constituents are expecting to see a lot of changes. But for now, they say their priority is to usher in peace and development in the two states. For VOA News, I am Kaltuma Vanessa in Washington.
Family members of a journalist arrested 3 weeks ago after publishing an article critical of the ruling SPLM party say they still don't know where he's being held. The parents of Joseph Afande are asking the government to release their son. Gift Friday has more for VOA from Juba.
South Sudanese security operatives detained 27-year-old Joseph Afande, editor of the Arabic language daily Al-Tabir. Was arrested December 30th, 1 week after writing an article that accused the SPLM of mismanaging South Sudan. Edmund Yakani, Executive Director of Community Empowerment for Progress Organization, or SEPO, says it's clear that Afande was picked up by government security agents, not unknown gunmen.
The identity of the way Afande was picked, what does it demonstrate, or who do we blame? Maybe if you ask a question. Now, it's very clear that a vehicle with a number 017, and I'm quite sure maybe in black color, and we know these vehicles, who owns it. These vehicles belong to our security institutions. So now we blame directly our security institutions that they might have picked Afande, because the vehicle that picked Afande is a vehicle that identify one of the vehicles that belongs to them. We have been appealing to our government that identity of whoever is doing a work should be easily identified, because we have this language of unknown gunman.
The day after Afande was detained, his family called a news conference appealing for his release. Yesterday, Afande's sister, Lucia Joseph Deng, said her family has not been allowed to see Afande since he was picked up. Speaking in Arabic, Deng said she does not know why her brother was arrested, and called on the government officials to release him immediately.
Afande Joseph Sahafi, yani, بالنسبة لنا هو فعلاً.
Afande is a journalist. For us, he is our son and brother, but he is a journalist. That's why I'm sending my message to the president of the country, as a South Sudanese citizen, that they should not detain journalists, but instead find out what they have done with him. As is the case all over the world, journalists are supposed to have freedom. If anyone has a problem with Afande, then let him come out and speak.
The owner of the Al-Tabir newspaper, Alson Jaden, says he has tried several times to reach the South Sudan National Security offices, but was repeatedly denied access to top officials. Jaden says it is important for Afande's family to know his current condition.
Very important to know that. Is he getting the right treatment? Is he getting the right food? Is he safe there? And we are working. I assure you this, we will do whatever it takes at our disposal to get him out from there.
Yakani calls the manner in which Joseph Afande disappeared very disturbing.
On behalf of SEPO, on my behalf, we strongly urge the state authority to ensure that the family of Joseph Afande have access to where Joseph is and link up a communication with Joseph. Why is so? Because we believe that being a South Sudanese and being as a journalist is not that he's an enemy of the nation.
Yakani says SEPO has hired a defense lawyer to help Afande's family secure his release. He says the lawyer will soon write to the Justice and Interior Ministries, as well as the South Sudan Human Rights Commission, regarding the case.
We're communicating using the media by appealing to the President of the Republic of South Sudan, and also calling the leadership of the national security, right from the Minister of National Security, and then the leadership of the National Security, and the Minister of Interior, and South Sudan Human Rights Commission, that the case of Joseph is a very disturbing case to us as a human rights activist. His safety and his protection is paramount for us.
Yakani says, as the two warring parties in South Sudan's conflict embark on implementing the August peace deal, the government should allow freedom of expression so that stakeholders can freely debate the issues affecting the country. In a report released in December, Reporters Without Borders ranked South Sudan the fifth worst place to be a journalist. At least 7 reporters were killed in South Sudan last year alone. For VOA News, I'm Gift Friday in Juba.
You're tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. With more than 70% of the votes counted, the CAR's presidential election looks like it's set to go for a second round. More on that story when we come back.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what do you do when you want to relax?
I love books and I love nature. So take a book and sit by the Nile and read. That's one of my favorite things to do.
Whenever I want to take a rest or relax, I just sit on my chair. And this is usually at home. Lay straight on the chair while I'm just meditating.
I listen to music. I like reading magazines and also Bible at my free time.
I draw because it relaxes me.
I read, I watch movies, yeah, that sort of thing.
When I want to relax, sometimes I do read, and sometimes I do hear music and sleep talk.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus. With more than 70% of the votes counted, the Central African Republic's presidential election looks like it's ready to go into a second round. Both of the two leading candidates are former prime ministers who served under ousted President Francois Bozizé. Katerina Hoije reports for VOA from Bangui.
Vote counting continued in Bangui Wednesday as the National Election Authority raced to beat a deadline to announce the results from the December 30th presidential poll. The authority's logistics officer, René Sankanga, said some votes have yet to arrive in the capital.
Mais il faut noter aussi que c'est ce matin, enfin, que nous avons reçu.
The votes from the refugees and the diaspora in Chad arrived Wednesday in Bangui, but votes from France and some regions have not yet arrived, he said. The election authority hopes they will arrive by Thursday so results can be announced. As things stood Wednesday, former Prime Minister Anicet Georges Dologele held the lead with 248,000 votes. He is followed by another former Prime Minister, Faustin Archange Todera, with 217,000 votes. It is clear that Todera has won Bangui, while Dologele's stronghold is in the populated western parts of the country. The results leave out 28 candidates with little chance of catching up before the final results are due Thursday evening. Early this week, 19 candidates questioned the credibility of the poll and demanded the counting to be stopped. The CAR Transitional Government, the National Transition Council, said a vote count would go ahead as planned despite logistical difficulties.
Je suis positif, je suis tout à fait positif en tant que membre de l'ANE.
Sankanga said the election authority is working 24/7 to be able to assemble the results in time. Anyone who wants to contest the final results has 10 days to do so with the country's constitutional court. If they do, a second round currently scheduled for January 31st will likely be postponed. Katerina Hoye, VOA News, Bangui.
Officials from 24 African countries met in Cameroon last month and called for China to stop illegal fishing off the West African coast. In some areas, Chinese fishermen have pushed their local counterparts back to shore, depriving them of their jobs and livelihoods. Moki Edwin Kinzeka has more for VOA from Yaoundé.
...22-year-old former fisherman Biso Frederick now sells sandwiches in the Cameroonian town of Limbe on the West African coast. He says he and his colleagues were forced to abandon their jobs 3 years ago.
Pour Cameroun en général, c'est un problème parce que ils nous envahissent, on n'a même plus accès.
He says they have lost their jobs to Chinese fishermen who have taken over all fishing areas. He says they are very worried. The government of Cameroon has allowed foreigners to do little jobs Cameroonians should have been doing. In a 2013 study, the environmental group Greenpeace reported that the number of Chinese fishing boats operating in African waters soared from 13 in 1985 to 462 in 2013. The report said there were 114 cases of illegal fishing over an 8-year period in the waters of Gambia, Guinea, Guinea-Bissau, Mauritania, Senegal, and Sierra Leone. It said the boats were operating without licenses or in prohibited areas. Amadi Diop, who is in charge of the Program for Aquaculture and Fishing at the New Economic Partnership for African Development, says such illegal activity is making African fish farmers poorer and destroying the environment.
Le poisson génère 24 milliards de dollars au niveau du continent.
He says the $24 billion fishing generates annually in the African continent is threatened by people who are taking far more fish from African waters than can be replaced by those remaining with the changing climate. He says the people who are suffering most are small-scale, low-technology and low-capital fish farmers who contribute 46% of the total revenue generated against industrial maritime fishing that contribute 33%. The head of the Regional Commission for Fishing in the Gulf of Guinea, Emil Esema, says the problem is getting worse because many African countries are not investing in their fishing sectors.
Ce secteur mal connu doit être connu parce que c'est déjà la volonté des chefs d'État.
He says the fishing sector is still neglected by many African states, and that is why African heads of state are being encouraged by the African Union to dedicate resources to boost fish farming and aquaculture. He says fishing can generate riches, solve food and nutritional crises, provide jobs for millions of unemployed youths and develop nations. The African Union convened a meeting in Yaoundé last month to discuss the issue. Representatives called for African states to dedicate more resources to fishing and improve the lives of more than 90 million people they say are involved in small-scale fishing activities. They also asked China to abolish destructive fishing practices and stop taking advantage of African countries' fishing grounds. Moki Edwin Kinzuka for VOA News, Yaoundé.
Here is a recap of today's top stories. The leader of the SPLM in opposition, Riek Machar, appointed 50 members of his party to the National Legislative Assembly, according to a letter that he sent to his chief negotiator this week. Under the August peace agreement signed by President Salva Kiir, Machar, and other parties, 68 members of parliament will be nominated to the transitional National Legislative Assembly to bring the total number of South Sudanese lawmakers to 400. Former political detainees will nominate one MP, and other South Sudanese political parties will select 17 others, according to that peace agreement. Machar nominated 24 legislators from the Upper Nile region, 14 from Equatoria, and 12 from the Bahar el Ghazal region. There are 11 females among the 50 MPs, which is about 22% of the total number of candidates. SPLMIO spokesman James Gaudet says the list was modeled using the previous 10 states as agreed to by all parties under the peace deal signed in August. Machar's appointments were made this week after President Kiir made his appointments, including the 28 governors, to oversee the newly created states that he outlined in a recent decree. Eric Reeves, an analyst at Smith College in the U.S. East Coast state of Massachusetts, says the biggest risk in appointing politicians is the clear lack of accountability that could follow for the young country. Family members of a journalist arrested 3 weeks ago after publishing an article that was critical of the ruling SPLM party say they still don't know where he's being held or why he's being detained. The parents of Joseph Afande are asking the government to release their son. Afande is editor of the Arabic newspaper Al Tabier. He was arrested December 30th, a week after he wrote an article that said the SPLM was mismanaging South Sudan. Afande's sister says she doesn't know why her brother has been detained. The newly appointed governors of Imatong and Namura Young states, which was known as Eastern Equatoria State, are preparing to elect their new cabinet. The two governors say that the criteria of the selection will be based on consultation of the citizens of the state. And finally, with more than 70% of the votes counted, the Central African Republic's presidential election looks like it's going into a second round. Both of the two leading candidates are former prime ministers who served under ousted President François Bozizé. Vote counting continued in Bangui today as the National Election Authority raced to beat a deadline to announce the results from the December 30th presidential poll. The authority's logistics officer, René Sankanga, said some votes have yet to arrive in the capital. He said the votes from the refugees and the diaspora in Chad arrived today in Bangui, but votes from France and some regions have not yet arrived. The election authority hopes they will arrive by tomorrow so results can be announced. And that's a look at some of today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Dam.
And that's our show for this Wednesday. We leave you with the song Goo by Magic System.
We've been listening to Magic System with the song Gaou. I'm Carol Van Dam in Washington.
And I'm Ayan Bior in Washington. Thanks for being here. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.